Morning, Tony. How are you?
I'm all right, thanks. I'm all right. You?
Yeah, busy but good.
Yeah, it's the way of things these days. The air ambulance seems to get busier and busier and busier, doesn't it?
It certainly does. It certainly does. Sort of every year we're getting busier and busier. And last year, 2023, we responded to over 3,300 incidents. So we're definitely getting busier.
That's 10 a day, isn't it?
Yeah, about 10 a day. Some of these we will get stood down before we get to, but yeah, over 10 missions a day is now our basis of our work.
Wow, how many helicopters do you have?
So we've got a mixed response platform. We've got a total of 3 aircraft available to us, and then we also have 4 rapid response cars. We predominantly try to use the aircraft to get about, but if the weather's bad, or if there's a technical problem with the aircraft, or if the job's very close to our base in Red Hill, we'll actually use the cars.
Yeah, I'm just sort of blown away by that stuff. I was talking to one of your guys last week, and I think he said it was £51,000 a day. Is it that you require?
Yeah, it's an astonishing amount. So £51,000 a day to run our life-saving service, and that's over 80% of that's funded through the generosity and support of people within sort of the charity's local communities. We rely heavily on our local communities, and they're really, really generous to us.
It's mind-boggling statistics, really. At least 10 flights a day, a whole bucket load of money needed. And then you get involved in this sort of stuff as well, Restart a Heart Week. Where did that idea come from?
So our aircraft and our teams are fantastic. We know that we can get to anywhere within the southeast of England within 30 minutes. But we also know for people in cardiac arrest, so when their heart stops, that actually it's not quick enough. We need people to do some stuff before we arrive in order to buy us time. And what we're talking about there is CPR. We need people to do CPR to buy us some time before our medical teams arrive, before the ambulance service arrive, and kind of to tie things over until help arrives and we can then deliver advanced intervention.
Now, one of the things in all of that, because there's been lots and lots of talk over the last few years about defibrillators and the placing of defibrillators in safe places and stuff. I mean, that's involved in this, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so. So we know the figures around cardiac arrest survival aren't great in the UK. We know that only 1 in 10 people who have a cardiac arrest will go on to survive. And we know that if we look elsewhere in the world where CPR and defibrillation is performed more commonly before the ambulance arrives, their survival rates are higher. And actually the data is very clear around this. We know that people who have CPR and defibrillation before the ambulance arrives have over double the chance of surviving compared to those that don't. So we've got a real interest in improving the rates of defibrillator use.
I'm going to say, that's a staggering statistic, that, isn't it? 1 in 10. That's somewhere below the basement in terms of success, isn't it?
It is, and we know that for those people who have CPR, and again those that get defibrillation, their rates of survival are significantly higher. I think the other thing that people are very interested to hear about is around where cardiac arrest occurs. We typically think of this as a problem that's not going to be relevant to us, but our data is very clear that 80% of cardiac arrests happen in people's homes, in private residences. So when we look at the data, it's likely to unfortunately be friends, family and loved ones that this would happen to, and they would be the ones that you would be doing CPR on. So it makes it just so important, skills.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that's just struck me as you were talking there is when people have a stroke, there are all sorts of warning signs that something is about to happen. Is this the case with cardiac arrest, or is it just a case of, oh, it's happened and you're in trouble?
So I guess it can be both of those, Tony. We know, so cardiac arrest is, I guess for clarity, when the heart completely stops and there's no longer any sort of activity within the heart, so we're no longer moving blood around the body. This can be a sudden event, and those are the ones that we're predominantly targeting, people whose heart has suddenly stopped and may have a reversible cause. We know that people can have a cardiac arrest at the end of a long illness, and it may be a complication and the end point of lots of other things going wrong in the body. So I guess to answer your question, it could be one of both things. But predominantly what we're talking about is people whose hearts have suddenly stopped, and they're the ones that will benefit significantly from CPR.
So, I mean, basically, this is going to be a surprise to not only the person who is the recipient, also the people around them as well.
Yeah, very much so. You know, when I work in the ambulance control room, sometimes you can hear the emotion on these calls. We know that this is a really, really stressful time for anybody, as would be expected. And what we're hoping to achieve through these education sessions is to just give people some confidence. We know that when people call 999, the call handler will talk you through how to do CPR. But what we're hoping through these sessions is that we can give people the confidence to then sort of have that little bit of knowledge in their mind that they can bring to the forefront and know what to do and have the confidence to act in that moment where we know that minutes make the difference.
So the original idea of this was Restart a Heart Day, wasn't it? It was one day put together, I do believe, by the governing body or of the air ambulance, because it's not just the Kent, Surrey, Sussex one. It's a national thing, isn't it?
Yeah, so approach is looked at by lots of sort of emergency services. So the police, the fire, ambulance services and the air ambulance service all get involved with this. The concept is led by the Resuscitation Council and the British Heart Foundation. And yeah, Wednesday the 16th of October is their National Restart a Heart Day, where the focus is on trying to improve rates of bystander CPR and defibrillation. And that's what we've kind of worked initially with and then started to spread out into some more events either side of that day.
Yeah, you've gone for the full week, so to speak, haven't you, with different things on different days. There's a website for this, isn't there?
There is. We've got essentially a range of both in-person and virtual events all across the southeast of England. The best way to sort of find out about it all is to go to our website, say aakss.org.uk/restart. And that's got all the information about how to register for our events, where we're going to be, and you can come meet the crew. They'll come show you how to do CPR, and all the information's there.
Yeah, I can see some of these events. It's just an amazing thing. And talking about meeting the crew, you guys, it's a charity, but you guys are not volunteers, are you?
No, so we're very lucky. So we're a mixture of doctors and paramedics who work on the aircraft, and we're paid for by the charity or seconded from the local NHS trusts to work on the air ambulance. Traditionally, mm-hmm. This was in a volunteer capacity, and this is now people's kind of permanent job roles or seconded job roles. And that is quite powerful because that allows us to put some of the best pre-hospital clinicians in the southeast on our aircraft and deliver some of the best care.
Yeah, I know the reputation of the air ambulance goes before it. It's absolutely a wonderful service. And, you know, if you see a helicopter in the sky, make sure there's space for them to land so they can get on with their job. Absolutely wonderful. But people can get to meet the crew, can't they, as well?
Yeah, so all of these sessions are being delivered by paramedics and doctors who work on the air ambulance and also work in other local hospitals and ambulance services throughout the southeast. So 100% will be taught by some of, you know, the leading resuscitationists in the country, but we will make it sort of digestible for everyone who comes along. We need your help to save lives. That's the key message, I guess, and we can't do that without people's help across the southeast.
Yeah, I'm looking through some of the things here to do with this particular week, and there's a winter base visit, I see.
Yeah, there is. We have people come visit our bases quite frequently. We love to showcase what we do. So there's a variety of competitions on the website. There's a variety of prizes just to encourage people to come get involved. And some of that is around coming and seeing the base, seeing how we set up at Red Hill. And we'd be more than happy to welcome people along.
Yeah, okay. It sounds like really good. So it's Wednesday the 16th of October is the official online restart a heart live stream sessions. That's the actual day. And the rest of the bits around it are to do with the Kent, Surrey, Sussex Air Ambulance, yeah?
Yeah, so we will be throughout the whole week. On Wednesday the 16th of October, we'll be live streaming to a variety of settings, and there's still the opportunity for people to sign up if they're a group, a school, or any corporate business, anyone where we can get a load of people in front of a camera, we can live stream out to you. And then alongside that, during the week, there's some in-person events at shopping centres,
okay,
and services and other sort of high footfall areas where hopefully we can see lots of people.
Okay, so it's aakss.org.uk/. It says get dash involved, restart a heart day. So, yeah, looking forward to that and thinking it's really going to be, well, something that a lot of people ought to know about, really. And hopefully we can get that terrible statistic of 1 in 10 improved just a little.
Yeah, thank you, Tony. I think it's interesting, isn't it? We could have someone listening to this who could go on to save a life just through committing 30 minutes of their day to learning this. And that's what I find really exciting about this project.
Okay. What is it you, I've got to ask before we finish, what is it you actually do for the air ambulance yourself?
So I have a couple of job roles, but my main role is as a paramedic on the aircraft. And then I also look after education for the charity, both internally training the clinicians and at the moment externally. So trying to build that army of lifesavers across the southeast.
So I would guess that first part is, well, I'm trying to think of the word to actually describe the adrenaline you must get on that one, being a paramedic on a flight, not quite knowing what you're going to.
It's an absolute privilege to do. It's a, you know, the pinnacle of my career. It's an absolute honour to be able to go do that and be trusted to go deliver that across the southeast. It's a really enjoyable job for me.
Long may it continue that way. Ben Paul, for now, thank you for talking to us this morning.
Thank you, Tony.